Hang on 1 second, we are recording.
So, it is just after 6 p.m. on Wednesday, October 20th, and I call this business meeting of the National Airport Authority Board to order.
Chairman Woods.
Oh, yes. Here.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Secretary Holland.
Present.
And I believe that Director Duquette will be absent this evening, and I'm not sure about Dave.
Okay. So public input. Does anybody have any questions or comments related to this evening's agenda? I'll take that as a no. Our minutes. Approval of the NAA public minutes for September 15, 2021.
I review those and I make a motion to accept those presented.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor of approving the NAA public minutes of September 15, 2021 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And there's no opposed? That passes. Treasurer's report. Since we don't have a treasurer right now, I think I'm going to table that one. Communication. We had no communication this month. Yeah. That brings us to the salary report. Seven more than we had last month, so very little change there. Right. And we're 20 to 21, we're actually off a few percent versus last year. So, airport manager.
Excuse me. Okay, so recent events. On September 25th, we had our Wheels and Wings event. It was a great success. We had over 3,200 people that attended it. This is a free event, community outreach event. Thank you to all that participated. Darrell, Wes, these guys brought their airplanes, displayed them, and let people touch the airplanes and ask all kinds of questions. We also had representatives from the New Hampshire Army National Guard displaying a UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter. New Hampshire State Police with their Bell 407 as well as a motorcycle unit. And we had Dartmouth Hitchcock Advanced Response Team Dart helicopter on scene. That was pretty cool for the crowds. They showed up late because they had some calls in the morning. And then they had to depart early because they had an emergency call. So the crowd really enjoyed that. We also had other tenants, Ray Grenier and his daughter Gail, displaying the Varga, Keith Webb from Air Direct with the 172, Sophie Burns, although she was not present, she let us use her aircraft for a static display, her Navion. I already mentioned Wes. We had Mike Henning drop his RV4 home built off. Dave Shaver had his extra 300, which is the same plane as Farrell's. Not nearly as cool because Farrell owns his, but and Dr. Phil Joseph with his Charles 202, as well as the Civil Air Patrol. And again, it was a great event. We had no parking issues. We had no traffic issues. The people that oversee the college campus, the former Daniel Webster College campus, were kind enough to let us use University Drive. So we removed the gate for the day. They let us use the road as well as all their parking, so we're very grateful to them. We also fixed their gate that was shaped like a pretzel before we put it back. So they were happy with that. Another event we were supposed to have was Young Eagles. And unfortunately, due to weather that morning, we had to cancel it. It would have been the first Young Eagles event in 2 years. but the weather was not conducive to getting pilots here from other airports that were scheduled to fly. Unfortunately, the weather broke at about 11:30, and it was absolutely beautiful out. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's just how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Upcoming events, we have none at this point. Other items of interest, on the 15th, the National Airport Authority held its annual snowplow meeting. That went well. We're changing up a few of the ways we do things this year. Hopefully to get the runway open quicker. There'll be just minor changes there. Surveying and geotechnical exploration has begun and actually completed today on the golf ramp paving project, the Foxtrot and Golf paving project. They were here for the last 3 days, Danny?
Yeah.
3 days. Boring test holes all over our ramp. They didn't run into anything they didn't expect, so I guess that all went well. In terms of hangars for sale that we discuss each month, we have two for sale. Still, one's located at 13 Perimeter Road, the other one's at 127 Perimeter. There's also community hangar space available with Infinity and Nashua Jet Aviation. Anybody have any questions?
Is 127 Perimeter?
No, 127 is Archie Fingers.
Oh.
At 127,
I guess
I could mention that too. It's a half a hangar and doesn't quite fit in the aircraft.
Minor technicality.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was an appendage on the building where they have these nested knee hangers. Mm-hmm. You end up with this extra space, and somebody thought it would be a great idea to make it a hangar when it really.
Isn't it 25 wide?
It's 25 wide.
It fits
in there. But you haven't had anybody knocking on the door to that, unfortunately, so.
And actually, isn't that the little end unit, 121, for sale?
That's the one we're talking
about.
Chris, can you elaborate on the snow plowing? What was anything that they were going to try to open the runway faster?
Well, we're going to run two people out. We're going to chase the grader with the snowplow rather than have one person do it.
Okay.
And then go back out, with the snowblower. So we'll run them in unison out there. It'll open it up quicker.
Okay.
So, you know, getting the ramps open is great, but if you can't get the runway open,
It's
kind of pointless. So. Just minor changes, like I said, and we'll, you know, during our meeting, we said we'll play it by ear, see how everything goes. It all depends on how the snow is, how wet it is, what the temperatures are, what time of day it falls. So, not that there was any problems, we just talked about it, thought that we could speed it up by putting two people out there.
Yeah, if you can land an airplane, it's
Far
better.
You know, if you had to, it has to be open, so.
Right.
The airport is closed during snow removal operations, but obviously, excuse me, if somebody had an emergency, we'd like to be able to get them in here.
Okay.
So moving on, engineers report. So I guess you're up, Danny.
Mm-hmm. Gail is currently administering three projects for the authority. The first one is the pavement maintenance phase 2 project. The project is now substantially complete. The date of substantial completion was August 24th. This will represent the start of the contract's 1-year guarantee. Gail has issued the final invoice for this project and is now in the process of finalizing the project closeout document and to circulate for signature. The contract amendment has been processed and approved. The following will be required of Gail and the authority upon receipt of the funds. There is a credit due to the airport and to NHDOT for a total of $6,238 for fees associated with survey and geotechnical services. Because the grant was funded at 100% by the FAA, the only financial impact resulting from this agreement will be the credit of $311.90 received by the authority. Upon receipt of the payment for the final invoice, they will provide the credit in the form of a check, which the authority will then use to credit both themselves and the NHDOT. The recommended action is to sign the final reimbursement. description and pulls out the documents upon receipt. And then the second project that we're administering is the rehab Taxway Alpha. Gail and the authority received notification from NHDOT that FAA does not have enough discretionary funding to support the rehabilitation of Taxway Alpha as a FY 2021 grant. NHDOT offered the FY 2021 grant to fund the design portion of the project with the suggestion that FAA would support that construction only in 2022. Gail's recommendation is to apply for the design only grant immediately to recover the design fees associated with this project. Coordination will need to take place with the contractors to make sure that their bid prices will be honored if the construction is pushed from the spring to the fall of 2022. Recommended action, please sign up for revised grant applications upon receipt. Third project is the golf ramp and foxtrot ramp. Scoping meeting was held on Thursday, September 8th to coordinate the design effort necessary to administer this project. From the meeting, a draft scope of work has been prepared and submitted to NHDOT and the airport for review. Once review comments are received, Gail will prepare documents to assist the airport in obtaining an independent fee estimate for the project. Gail has received the base plans from our surveyor, and we are beginning to prepare the preliminary design plans. For the project schedule, we have the preliminary plans set, completed, and submitted to all parties for review and comments by December 10th. Gail has submitted a draft contract and IFE form to NHDOT for review and comment. Upon receipt, Gail will make any final revisions and provide the airport with the documents necessary to solicit an IFE for this contract. Recommended action is to coordinate the IFE for this project upon receipt of necessary documents. And for the general items, the SWIFT review period has passed. And the permit coverage status has been updated to active.
That's it.
I guess this is my time to ask about the building repairs of the current schedule.
Same status, they still have not shipped the parts. As soon as they roll off, let Peter know and coordinate the repairs.
I have a quick question. Maybe this was a typo even from the last meeting, but just on the third project for the rehabilitation of golf and foxtrot,
yes.
Can you clarify the numbers for the funding? Is it a 90% FAA share and then a 5 state, 5 local? It's just, it looks like it's 100% FAA plus another 5% from each of the local and state. So which, what is actually correct here? Is it 100% 0-0? 90% by 5, what's the actual funding?
95.5, right?
95.5,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just trying to see which one of us is actually paying attention.
Add up numbers when I'm over here.
Well, the FAA is going to pay 100% of their share.
Did you get a box?
Thank you, Danny. So, let's see. This time we have no standing committees. We have no old business left over from last month. So, that brings us to new business. We have Sarah Marchand from Imagine Nashua.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
I brought a handout, not really paper, but I thought it might be easier here. Not long, I promise, but it's to get the discussion going potentially.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's nice to be here in person.
Thank you. Well, thank you for coming.
I'm getting older, non-stop living, right? I have a fun day, but I was pretty happy when Chris emailed me. Was like, what is that doing? So we talked last spring, and we were in the midst of creating the Imagine Nashua plan at that point. And it was actually adopted by the Board of Aldermen last Tuesday. And so I'm back to talk to give you kind of an overview of the plan, and this is a very short version of the plan, which is online at imagine.nashua.gov, and I'm going to bring it up to my iPad if you have extra questions that I don't have on the top of my head, but we can do that if we need to as well. But essentially, this is the first plan in about 20 years that the city has for creating basically a vision of its future. And we did, the idea here is that this is directly related to the land use code and land use updates. Mm-hmm. We start with a vision for the community, and that's on the second page, essentially that we are committed to being a welcoming, diverse, forward-thinking city that offers economic, housing, educational, and recreational opportunities through a vibrant and resilient community with a high quality of life. And when we were here before, the airport is certainly part of that economic engine, which is certainly the key. And certainly a core part of our community. And so we talked to a lot of people. You can see some pictures of kids here, but we started, we talked to people, actually, these are a little bit out of order, so I'll just go with the order. So if you flip to the next page, page 3, it has the 6 different colors on it. And essentially we have 6 different topic areas, and we have 10 overall goals that we heard from. And these are the overarching 10 goals that we heard from our community. Under land use and development, housing, mobility and transit, economic development, open space, natural resources, and arts and culture. And this is, we had a tremendous amount of community feedback, more than we anticipated. And so the document is larger than we initially thought. And so what you'll see is that these colors carry throughout, and it is a way, if you're actually online looking at the plan, to be able to see where you are on the plan at any point in time, the colors relate to the different topics. And so it is trying, we try very hard to find ways that be consumable, that are easy, and also have a big consumable document, so you can easily get the parts that you're looking at or interested in. I won't read them, but I'm more than happy to talk about them as we go forward. On page 4, you'll see in a very high level what we heard from the community is that we really love our neighborhoods the way they are. And many of them, especially our residential neighborhoods. And really, what we heard is the need as far as development goes, and future development, and transportation-related things, is that we need to focus on our corridors and concentrate new development on our corridors, but also reimagine how some of those are and how they might look in 10, 20, 30 years from now. In addition, which you guys were definitely involved in, there was quite a bit of discussion about the Daniel Webster College site. And what that could be if we're imagining it in the future. And we compared some light industrial type uses to some low medium density neighborhood uses. And we heard from the community loud and clear that they would like to see a neighborhood there, but one that has increased building soundproofing standards, right? To kind of block the complaint to some extent, if those can be blocked, that could be airport is here first. Right, and you guys are the neighbor first and foremost. But from an economic development transportation standpoint, if this wasn't feasible as an industrial or quasi-industrial area, it doesn't fit the market and the logistics of that. Which you guys probably know better than most. It's what you do.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
the property is currently privately owned.
Correct.
Is there something in the works that...
There is not. No, that's a great question. So the point of this document is the next step is to look at the land use code and update that to reflect the utility's larger vision. So right now it is zoned college or residential D. And what we want to do is change the zoning to reflect what we heard in the vision from this. So that's the next step that we'd be doing as part of this larger conversation. Because neither the college is not an economic value. We were pretty much told there is no hope that there will be another university or school system coming in there. And so we need to figure out what we can do with that, or what whoever has it, the gentleman who has it right now, if he was to sell it, what is reasonable and what can we run for it that is something that's compatible with the neighborhood instead of getting something that maybe would be less compatible. They, you know, I think what we pretty clearly didn't want is maybe something more like Architect 1, which is, you know, 10 five-story buildings of apartments. Nobody was interested in that. That's not what anybody wants. So we want to be clear in what, if we don't do it appropriately, then that's the development we'll get.
Would this zoning prevent light industrial?
It would not allow for it already. But that's a conversation we could still have. What we heard from the neighborhood is that weren't having it today. What we heard from the economic development team is that it was unlikely, but I don't think it has to be zoned out of it. If that's something that you are all very interested in, that's certainly something that could be a permitted use.
The light industrial is already not.
It is currently a permitted
use. It is a
Currently, it is not. Currently, it's an institutional educational use, and it's a residential B use, which is a relatively higher density for national. It is not zoned for that right now. So the zoning line is kind of follows perimeter road. So it's, you guys are zoned for that.
Yeah.
That is not.
Yeah. And we're growing business on the airport. We've actually, I think, recently put an inquiry about seeing it for residential use.
So that would be a space that would be residential, but what we would require is some, like we do on the southern side of Amherst Street, is the increased building standards of soundproofing. Part of any development there, they have to meet a higher standard of soundproofing.
This should sign a document, so I understand that we're airplanes here first.
Developing a residential neighborhood next to an airport is, I would say, historically not a good idea.
I mean, they exist everywhere, but it doesn't mean they don't complain to you constantly.
It changes the traffic patterns at Logan pretty much routinely every single day in order to facilitate the neighborhoods, and it's not efficient for the operations that go in and out, and this is an international airport, right?
Yes.
So in a city where you expect there to be noise. So I can only imagine that residents that live next to a runway here, you know, I mean, I think everybody would get tired of airplanes coming and going, but that's what they're signing up for.
I think up in Manchester, the FAA had grants for soundproofing for the neighborhoods around.
Yeah.
And that involved replacing windows, adding insulation. It's quite expensive.
I think that's an after the fact, right? What we're trying to do is make sure that whoever builds first has to build to that higher standard in the first place, too.
Geez, Chris, I wonder if whoever built the house is, you know, across the Sharon Ave, did any of that?
Mm. Probably not.
It requires south of here at all. The only place in the city that we now require that higher level of soundproofing would be new residential on the south half of Amherst Street. In some of those areas, which doesn't have any residential right now,
mm-hmm.
but as part of that zoning, when we changed that zone before COVID, it's all like a collapse. I don't know how many years it was, right? We haven't had any residential built yet, but we allowed for mixed use in that area on the condition that they have to build to a higher standard.
Coming for windows broken soundproofing is a good amount.
That's when we get the complaints from springtime and
available.
The calls are if you have increased traffic, no, you just have your windows open, the time fell.
Right.
The numbers were actually down a bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's understandable that people want to live there. This is a great spot, this part of Nashville especially. Mm-hmm. And the
Daniel
Webster College campus is actually
a
really beautiful.
I'd like to live there, but I love airplanes.
definitely a concern. I think that, you know, it's because the airport, I mean, we have operations that we have to do and we'll continue to do. And it's not like we're, you know, landing 747 here or anything, but still, you know, when there's people doing touch and goes, you know, if they're doing, you know, 30 landings an hour, then...
And the airport's open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Is there a lot of different things that we get, actually, but even from the airport?
Yeah.
It's more the 3 o'clock in the morning ones that are coming from Manchester or Fabulous
Friday. 7 a.m.
Yeah, there was one. I mean, classes come back early, and they're always coming on.
And you know, at Hanscom, they have a noise major procedure. So basically from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., if you take out for land in your Piper Cub or whatever it might be, you get slapped with a pretty big fee, like $80 for a tiny little airplane, because they've had their neighbors who aren't even close. These are people who are living in the surrounding communities in Concord and Carlisle, and they're like, no airplane noise. And so the airport said, all right, well, really, all we can't shut down the airport per se, but we can make it, you know, financially disincentivizing. And that's what they did, and I mean, I would speak for something like that to happen very naturally.
So let's say that Massachusetts is a very different place than New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah.
sure, which is maybe why some of us live here. But that, I think, would be highly unlikely in New Hampshire. Number one, we don't really have, we are a home rule state in that we can only do what the legislature would allow us to do, so that would, number one, require the legislature to allow us to do that, which is unlikely. And number two, I think, you were here first, and that has a lot of value in the interest, a lot of value, where if that is not necessarily as anything of value.
Because yeah. I can tell you, Hanscom was there before the people who just built their multi-million-dollar mansion
exactly.
In Concord, Massachusetts, too.
Exactly.
And just touched upon, you know, noise abatement procedures. We have voluntary noise
right.
abatement procedures. So we try to be the good neighbors. We know that we make a lot of noise, but we want to be good neighbors, but people also have to understand that, yes, first and foremost, it's an airport. It's been here since the 30s.
Right.
So, and it is a huge economic engine for the city and the state.
Mm-hmm. Somebody mentioned covenants in the deed. I don't know if we can do that, but it's certainly something I can bring. The next step when we go to Land Use Code, we're going to be putting an RFP out shortly to bring a team on board to start writing that. We do, in the city, require covenants for certain developments.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a senior housing project, right? So there are covenants in the deed that they have to comply with the federal laws around senior housing, whatever. We can look into something about the airport. I don't know if it would really be legally enforceable, but if there was a note in the deed that specifically stated, we understand the airport is there
mm-hmm.
and will be noisy, maybe there's something we can add in there.
I wonder if there's some precedent for other communities. I mean, I can't imagine that we're the only community that has a very desirable parcel of land that people want to develop on. You know, that maybe there's other cities and towns in the nation that could be looked at.
Yeah. I do think because of the way the parcel, because it is one large parcel, I don't think that this owner would be likely to divide it up and sell it off in pieces. So I think it would be one larger developer that would be coming in the project, and I mean, there's no movement now.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we could be talking about 10 years from now, really.
Sure.
But I think that it would be much easier to negotiate with one developer about a covenant of property than, say, somebody who is selling it off in pieces, and you would try and negotiate with a bunch of different people.
Sure.
And I don't think, maybe, but I mean, them being a Chinese national and not necessarily seeming to have a lot of knowledge of this area or the property would make it unlikely that they'd be selling it off, that they'd try to subdivide it themselves and sell it off.
Mm-hmm. Is there, just a follow-up question too, is there any potential concern with the fact that there's a wetland there and that would just have to be taken into consideration for the
right.
development, follow whatever state and federal guidelines exist?
Yeah, the wetland will be protected. There certainly was interest in it's a beautiful natural environment, and is there a way to interact with it, like walking paths
yeah,
and things
sure.
like that?
That would be fantastic for the community to have something.
People can
bird watching.
Mm-hmm. There's also a huge interest in the community in reviving those fields and having them be for the city.
Yeah.
We are desperate need a field space.
I remember when I was a kiddo and was constantly looking for fields to play on. Right? I mean, we were playing on, half the time we were playing on old industrial areas that got turned into fields that really didn't have good grass and had lots of cactus.
Right, and that's actually those are actually nice fields.
Yeah,
those are
expensive
to build.
Very
expensive. And we don't have land to build up, we've been looking. So I do think that the city would, as reflected in this plan, the goal would be to keep those fields and kind of build around it. That would be loud, too.
Yeah.
Because we have people who move in next to parks and then are unhappy about having noise at the park.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just the way it is.
Is that something that the city then would be interested in doing? Is possibly trying to buy that,
yes.
just to have that land subdivided and retain the recreational aspect?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, very much so.
I think they leave at least one of them to the Riviera.
Yep.
They do. They won't use to, well, we would probably, we don't probably aren't willing to pay enough, but yes. they do lease to Riviera and work with some of the, from some of the other teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know the hockey teams are there too.
Yeah, the hockey teams are there and they are in the dorm.
They don't have a rink, do they?
No, but I think they go to Kingsbury.
Well, we bust
them
over
the bus. Yeah.
I think that, you know, this is obviously, you know, a plan in its infancy, but I think it's a stretch to think that they're going to put residential housing in there anyway, because we know what they paid for that land. We also know that there's a massive demolition removal cost associated with it. And I'd have to do some, you know, some math here to figure out, you know, could you actually afford to buy these properties and turn them into single-family homes? You had mentioned, you know, they were talking about five-story buildings. That would probably be the only way to make it feasible. But you're not putting five-story,
yeah.
Nobody's putting five-story buildings up next to the airport.
No, and that's not what anybody wanted to
right.
I mean, wasn't
it? I'm just saying, that's the only way I think you could possibly financially pull it off.
To turn the auction of that property, there was another company there that was bidding for it in terms of Jenkins of America.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be something like that, or would it definitely be residential? Or is that considered like...
It's a different kind of use,
depending on what it is.
Right.
It's not considered industrial.
Right.
Medical.
Right.
It depends. There's different licensing. This is a whole lot of
topics. Okay.
Well,
I'm
kind of curious.
No, but that's a good question.
That
yeah.
Building rather than residential housing. If you were to use it like the hurricane, or I think that's what the hockey team's called, right? Or the hockey team or the cyclone. So if you're using it as a pure functioning dorm space as it is today in the buildings that they're using, which have been kept up with their basic sprinklers and heating system, you can continue to do that. To do any renovation and touching those buildings, they are not meeting codes. They
right.
don't need handicap accessibility. They don't need a whole bunch of levels of codes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all need to come down. So they couldn't mm-hmm. easily be used to convert to a medical use.
That's
okay. The answer.
Just kind of curious.
Yeah, I know when we were at the auction, it was the one that had. This property was bought for four others at the auction across the country. It wasn't bought for
yeah.
right?
He was the only one that was there, though.
Right, but
yeah,
the property when it had, the person who did buy this, I don't know that they're going to ever care about their return on investment. It's kind of like a way to launder money.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't cross it off the list about the fact that they're worried about losing, that they would never sell it because there's going to be a loss, because there probably will be a loss either way.
I do think a developer, though, if they ever did want to sell to a developer, would put four-story, four-one housing.
They have to make your money.
Yeah, I don't think being next to the airport would bother them a bit. Because
it wouldn't bother them.
They look at apartments differently than people who are going to buy their own property. If they're renters, they don't have a say in anything that really goes on. So I think developers would build 401 housing over there in a heartbeat.
The goal would be to zone it so that's not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
We heard from the neighborhood, that's not what they want. So as we update the zoning, but the neighborhood's really interested. They're fine with maybe some duplexes or triplexes, but the top thing, it would still look like single family homes, essentially. But maybe within this, it's going to have, I think, and there's a height limit because of the airport.
Right, we need to prevent vertical development.
Right, so there is a height limit on buildings either way, but really we're looking at maybe a 2/2 duplex, but that's the zoning that they're looking, that we'd be looking at putting in place after that.
So how long have they been in this space? Like how long was the auction?
2016?
Yeah.
16
or 17.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when college
closed
down.
So it closed a little before that, maybe for 6 months.
So there are four-story buildings there now.
There are three-story buildings.
Maybe they're only three?
I think they might be only three. They aren't, yeah. It's a different...
Price you could just get the less than that.
I think you could go that high.
It would seem like you're harming the property owner to restrict it to less than three, whatever it is now.
Right, I think that the three-story building now would be allowed, but I don't think you could go much more. And anything that exists would be... continues to be allowed, it would be as soon as you modify it that you have to comply with it.
Well, I mean, if the developer came in to our the down and built it.
They wouldn't be able to build back up at all if the zoning changed. But we do have the D factor of the airport in there. As in, we actually ask for help from you guys and Gale Associates when we get a development with their height scale, because your area that we have to stay out of is not something we're going to ever be experts in. And so we need you to tell us if it needs it. So if you guys, we have a lot of community input, I'll just say that, and I'm not sure how much you can say with the rest of the plan, but if you flip to page 9, I think one of the things I just really wanted to highlight is we see the 6 sections again, but what we tried to do was, this is basically kind of an implementation report, and these goals are from now till 2030, and the idea was this plan is extensive. There's almost 200 pages to it. And this report card is something that is based on data today that will show us if we're moving the markers that we can check on an annual biannual basis to see if we're moving the markers towards building the community that we want to get towards. And so these are some of the statistics we're using to review this on a regular basis as we go forward to make sure that we are implementing things. Because for all of you who know about land use, change takes a long time. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things in here that will take quite a long time, but what we want to do is make sure that we're staying on the right track as we move forward. So we know this report card kind of hold us accountable. And then the next steps truly are we just repurposed the funds that we would use all the funds appropriated for the master plan, so we repurposed those to use the land use code update. And so we are putting an RFP together. Hopefully we'll have a consultant team on board to help us. We are not throwing out the whole land use code. The vast majority of it is really good. And like you said, people are really happy with our neighborhoods and our residential neighborhoods and how they're laid out and what goes on the village, but it's really the focus on those redevelopment areas. Say rezoning for DW, rezoning for Beezer, the site.
Beezer, wow.
Beezer, because Beezer's coming back on the market. It's very close to clean. At least 80 acres of the 100 will likely be back on the market in the next 5 years. And so if you look, it's up. It's actually
the big one.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Down behind that, on the river.
Yeah, it's going on back there. Yeah, it's way up there. It's on the river. It's got tons of frontage. It actually could be a really nice site someday.
The railroad goes through there, right?
Yep, it's on the other side of the railroad track. So it's a pretty big piece of land on the other side of the railroad track. And it's got tons of frontage along the Merrimack, and currently it's in zone park industrial. And we had somebody come in about 5 years ago to put a half a million square foot warehouse there that would be just trucking trucks through that neighborhood nonstop, which would be not what the neighborhood wanted. And so, the idea was, maybe that's not the best use of that one access point over, or maybe possibly two, but one access point over the railroad tracks, and maybe it's, again, it's finding the balance between a public amenity for everybody to be able to access the riverfront there and walk along it, and have some housing in the neighborhood where we desperately need housing. So that is the overall plan, and those are the big next steps, and so our review in the next step, we'll certainly be talking about coming to you to talk a lot about the rezoning of the in Webster College area and anything around. If you guys would be looking for your input on that.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I would have to commend the city of Nashua for the waterfront that they sort of rehabilitated downtown. Compared to when I was a kid growing up, that it's just like night and day difference. And I just drove by it again and said, wow, this is really nice. It's really great. And so, the other projects that are happening here, like the Beezer site, right? It's pretty dilapidated area there, but it could be lovely. So, it'd be exciting to see that get better.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exciting. We are a preliminary design for the downtown riverfront, and if all goes well, as you guys know, sometimes working with the Army Corps of Engineers and other federal agencies is a little bit chicken and egg, so we're a little bit pausing on the potential rewriting of the floodplain and meeting those numbers, but getting permits takes a while, but we are hoping to be under construction next spring and summer with that. And so I was hoping to bring Matt Sullivan, the new, relatively new planning director. He's actually been here for a year, but it's been a year of COVID. So I don't know if he's gone again to meet him yet, but he's been. But I am leaving the city, and so he will be the person who's working with you probably on the list.
Where are you going? What city is going to be next?
I'm going actually to nonprofit world, to the community loan fund. So yeah, I know big jump for me, but something a little bit different.
Thanks for your help with that.
Good luck.
Yes, I love being here and I love the community. I don't live far and I'll still be around. but I will make sure that I get you Matt's contact, and Matt is definitely looking forward to getting to know you guys and working with you on this. And whoever will be in my position in the future, I'm sure.
Well, thanks for all your efforts.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
And thanks for bringing us the update too.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so moving forward, we have no more upcoming events. In the meantime, bring us to public input. Anybody have any comments on anything? No questions, no comments? Okay. Director's comments. Well, I'll start with Jeff.
Sure. Thanks to Chris and Stephen and the rest of the NAA for just continuing to run things smoothly to make the job of director being very easy. So thank you very much, and we hope to see everybody else flying very soon.
Okay. I'll do next. But yeah, I want to thank Susan and Chris for their work again. As these meetings are now likely attended. They have been for the past about 4 years. I think our friend Dave Wilkie made a comment a while ago. He said, you hire Chris. He says, I guess I don't have to go to the airport for you. So it's nice to have that peace and quiet and a good relationship with our customers.
All right. I'm thinking to add to that, it's a good wrap up by both of you.
Okay. So, motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Wait, second.
Okay. Yeah, any discussion on that? Okay, we are adjourned.